If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open up to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. We are going to be going through a lot of verses tonight, so don't feel necessary to be turning to every single passage that I mention here tonight. But Malachi chapter 3, verse 6 is where we are going to be jumping off here tonight. We're going to be continuing our study on the attributes of God. Over the last few weeks, we have looked at several different attributes that define God and His divine character. We have studied how God is holy. We've looked that God is a creative creator. We've seen that God is wise, and we've also looked how God is love. Tonight, I want us to focus on the attribute of God's immutability. God's immutability. And that simply means that God does not change. Malachi 3, verse 6, first portion of that scripture there says, "For I, the Lord, do not change." Our prayer with this study tonight is that we will have a better understanding of the greatness and the glory of God, that we will know God deeper, who He is, and how we can live in light of His divine immutability. I do believe that this is one of His attributes that is oftentimes overlooked. Perhaps it's easy to misinterpret it or not fully appreciate it and understand it. Some of us were taught from an early age that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We sing about it in our worship songs and in our hymnals. But I still think it's easy for us to not fully grasp what an important and vital attribute this truly is. Perhaps it has to do with the fact that we ourselves in our world is in constant change. If you just think about the last few decades, how much change has actually taken place, not in our own life, but in the world around us. We're all older. Some of us are a little bit bigger. Some of us are a little bit more grayer up top, or maybe there's nothing there at all anymore. 10, 20 years ago, some of you were still working. Now you're retired. Maybe you were single, and now you're married with a family. You used to live in a dorm room, and now you have your own house. Technology has drastically changed. Even in just the last 10 or 15 years, we can see how far along technology has come. 10 years ago, many of us were still rocking a landline and dial-up internet. Maybe you still are. That's fine. I'm not here to judge, but now we have a world of communication and information at our fingertips at any time that we want. Fashion has changed. The fads and the trends that come and go. I don't know when the last time it was that you looked at some old family albums or maybe an old yearbook. We have Facebook now that gets to remind us every single day of how we used to look. And I look back at these pictures and I think, what was I thinking? Like, I went out in public this way. I thought this looked good. I was trying to impress girls looking this way. You know, and you think of the fads and the trends that come and go. Anybody here ever own a Beanie Baby? I see some have. Yeah, it's okay. How about a waterbed? Where did those go? I remember when my family got a waterbed. I was in third or fourth grade at the time, and it was a big deal. I mean, nothing says comfort like seasickness, right? The fads come and they go. I remember things like an ant farm was a huge thing when I was young. Before that, there were these things called sea monkeys, like when my dad was a kid. There was a guy in the 70s named Gary Dahl who convinced 1.5 million people to buy something called Pet Rock. Did anybody here buy a pet rock? Okay. Ah, we got one. Okay. This guy literally sold a rock in a box for $4. He became a multimillionaire. So some of the change has been good, some of the change not so good. But tonight we are going to be taking a look at immutability. And again, it is pretty difficult to understand, just like eternity. Sometimes it's hard for us to wrap our minds around that. The fact that our world is constantly changing can make it difficult, but it is an important attribute to understand and embrace. So in the time that we have remaining tonight, I want us to attempt to unpack just a small portion of this grand attribute. One of the most prominent areas of God's immutability is in his character. He was always the same in all of his ways. James 1:17 says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." Who God is never changes. Again, the same yesterday, today, and forever. But what are some of those ways that he never changes? Well, we have God is eternal. 1 Timothy 1:17 says, "To the eternal King, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever." Isaiah 57:15 says that he inhabits eternity. God's love never changes. Psalms 136 is a beautiful passage, and all 26 verses end with the phrase, "His steadfast love endures forever." It is constant, never changing. His mercy never ends. Lamentations 3:22-23. "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." His forgiveness is always, always readily available. Micah 7:18-19. "Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression for the remnant of his inheritance? He does not retain his anger forever. Because he delights in steadfast love, he will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. You will cast all of our sins into the depths of the sea." God is always just. Deuteronomy 32:4, one of my favorite verses. "The rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are justice, a God of faithfulness and without iniquity, just and upright is he." Then we can consider the omni attributes. He's omnipotent, he's omniscient, he's always present. God cannot be more powerful or less powerful than he already is. Sometimes we pray, "God, you know, show yourself to us, be present." God is always present. He's not less present or more present than he always is. Every part of who God is and every part of his way is connected back to and enhanced in many ways by his immutability. His never-changing ways are interwoven between and connected to all his other attributes. If you take away immutability from God's love, then God is not always loving. If you detach immutability from God's holiness, then we have a God who's not always holy and righteous. Immutability is not a stand-alone attribute like we might want to think sometimes. I love how pastor and author Kevin DeYoung puts it. He says, "Immutability is a glory that belongs to all of God's divine attributes." So his ways are always the same. Not just his ways, but secondly here tonight, his will. God's sovereign and perfect will and ultimate plan does not change. Ephesians 1:11 says, "In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will." Numbers 23:19 confirms for us that God is not man, that he should lie, or a son of man, that he should change his mind. Now this is a part of God's immutability that seems to come under the most attack. The reason for that is because there are occasions in the Bible where it may seem that God does change his mind or his will. And often it's used by skeptics as a way to debunk his immutability and his sovereignty. One of those first examples we see is in Genesis 6, where it says that he, God, is grieved that he made humans and chooses to destroy all mankind with a great flood except Noah and his family. We also see in the story of Jonah, when Jonah finally obeyed God and he preached to the people of Nineveh, it says there in Jonah 3:10 that God relented of what he was going to do and chose to spare the people there. When we see God depicting God as having sorrow or changing his mind, what's happening here is the author is trying to express in human terms that sin bothers God and sin deserves judgment. And judgment does happen, just like we see with the flood. And then other times there is repentance and God chooses to respond with mercy and not wrath, like we see in Nineveh. The focus here is the undeserving mercy of God. His mind is not changed. He's simply showing compassion, and he has every right to show judgment. The Bible communicates time and time again that God knows all things, that all things will come to pass. Isaiah 46, 9 and 10 says, I am God, there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things not yet done. Since God knew the end from the beginning, he knew that before he even created man, he was going to bring judgment and destroy them with a flood. God is never surprised or caught off guard by our sin. Also, he's never surprised or caught off by those who respond to his calling and his grace. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world, Ephesians 1:4 says. He's a sovereign, all-knowing, perfect God. Ephesians 24, I am the Lord, I have spoken, it shall come to pass, I will do it. What God says, he wills, he does. There is no changing his plans. So since God is immutable, there is no variation in him. He doesn't change because he doesn't need to. So when the Bible says on that rare occasion, sometimes depicts that God changing his mind, again, it is simply communicating in limited human terms God's actions in a manner that we can actually comprehend. God's ways are never changing. His will is never changing. And thirdly, lastly, tonight, his word never changes. Jesus says of his permanence of his word in Luke 21:33, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Isaiah 48 says the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Matthew 24:35. And I think many people who call themselves believers today or Christians, they can come to grips with this idea, the fact that God's word doesn't change. But I think there is an ever-growing number who are starting to embrace and believe more and more that God's word needs to change. It needs to change because it's too offensive. It needs to change because it's not inclusive enough. It's not relevant or sufficient for the 21st century culture and people. And this is an incredibly destructive path for the Christian and the church to go down and embrace. We either want to avoid portions of God's word altogether because of what it might teach, or we try to in some way attempt to manipulate, take out of context passages and scriptures, and make it try to fit a narrative that we're trying to embrace. We try to take the unchanging, everlasting word of God and filter it through our ever-changing, finite lives. This attempt to change God's word is very evident in different religions and in even a lot of mainline, mainstream Christian denominations. Last year, our youth group went on a mission trip to Utah, to an area that is heavily influenced by Mormonism. I know in preparing for the trip, many of the teens and the leaders spent a significant amount of time learning what it is that Mormons believe. And one of the key doctrines of Mormonism is that they believe in what's called continuing revelation. And again, this is something that other denominations do embrace as well to some extent. But it even says on the Latter-day Saints website, under their doctrines of continuing revelation, that under this doctrine, Latter-day Saints believe that the church president is a modern-day prophet, seer, and revelator. And that Jesus Christ, under God the Father's direction, leads the church by revealing his will to the president. So understandably, if you believe that God has an open revelation, you must believe that his word is not immutable. And it would seem like many times throughout the years, throughout the decades, that certain Mormon doctrines began to change and be altered according to how criticized they were, how much scrutiny it came under. There would be an uproar, there would be people not agreeing, it doesn't jive with the culture and society, and somehow, just like clockwork, the president would receive revelation from God and come back, you know, we've made a change, we've been revealed from God, and now that doctrine is more easily digestible. One of the key ones was polygamy, which was once a staple and defining practice of the church, is now something, because of continuing revelation, that needed to be changed and is no longer necessary for a man to have multiple wives. The Mormon church went as far as to go through all the writings of the religion's founder, Joseph Smith, and change and alter all his mentionings of polygamy, of wives. They actually took the word wives and changed it to the singular form wife. They were changing doctrine in order to make it more appealing to the modern man. Now, we may not be as blatant or obvious as the Mormon church or some other denominations, but I do believe there are times when we unknowingly, subtly tweak God's word. And we don't get to do that. We don't get to customize Christ. I'm sure you've heard the illustration of God's word is not a buffet line. You don't get to go through and pick and choose all the things that we really, really like that look good to us and then ignore and forget all those things that we don't like. His word does not change. And we need to be hyper aware of the growing number of teachings that are out there and that are being embraced that look to possibly add on to the gospel or make portions of God's teaching sound more neutral and central on sin and certain lifestyles. So tonight we've seen that God is immutable in his ways, in his will, and in his word. So what does that mean for us? God's immutability is something we should find great comfort and peace in. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The sands of our society and our culture are ever shifting, going back and forth, and constantly changing, yet we can rely on the steadfast, unwavering anchor that is our God. There's a story that's told of Lloyd C. Douglas, who was an author in the early 20th century. He was an American minister as well. And he tells of a story when he was a university student. He lived in a boarding house, and downstairs on the first floor was an elderly retired music teacher who was confined to a wheelchair and unable to leave his apartment. Douglas tells that every morning he had this ritual with the retired music teacher. He would come down the stairs and every day open up the old man's door and he would say, "Well, what's the good news today?" And the old man would pick up a tuning fork next to him and strike against the wheelchair and he would say, "That is middle C. It was middle C yesterday, it will be middle C tomorrow, and it will be middle C 1,000 years from now. The tenor upstairs sings flat. The piano across the hall is out of tune, but my boy, that is middle C." The old man had discovered one thing upon which he could depend. One constant reality in his life, that middle C will always be middle C. For Christians, our one constant reality is God. Take comfort and peace in this divine attribute. It should stir up and encourage us to worship and glorify God in a deeper way, for us to behold our God in ways that we have not before. God's immutability enables us to depend on God, to always be God. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time that we have had tonight to open up your word and to learn from it. We thank you for who you are, for what you've done and what you promised to do. We thank you for your unchanging ways and what that means to us and the comfort that we can take in it. Help us apply these things that we've heard here to our life, and that you and you alone would receive the glory for them. We ask all these things in your precious name. Amen.